everybody. Welcome to the first ever live edition of Skinless Today. I'm Eddie Provident from DK Pittsburgh Sports. This we will see in the middle is Dayon Prophet. You're my boss, and I can't even pronounce your name, DK. I'm just going to call you DK. And then we've got Zachary Smith from around the 412, a.k.a. Smitty, from with us to talk to Steelers football today. Before we get going, I just want to let you know that the show is brought to you by BetQL. They're the one and only app you'll need to make smart bets and get an advantage over your sportbook. They scan over 350,000 unique bets per year to give you a best bet recommendation for every game for all major sports. And this covers everything, spreads, over-unders, player prop bets, you name it. Their algorithms look at the historical performance of each team, matchups, weather, injuries, coaching, and much, much more. They even give you line movements so that you can jump on bets in real time in the games. It's sharp data to see who the pros are backing. So right now, if you go to try.betql.co/DKPS to get started now, you can download the BetQL app. Again, that's try.betql.co/DKPS. Enter the code DKPS at checkout for 25% off of any BetQL subscription, or use their BetMGM offer to get a free year. You can find all the information on BetQL in the description below. So how you guys doing, man? First time on the live stream for Steelers Today.
I know. This is great. What's going on?
I'm doing well. I'm ready to talk some Steelers football.
What do we got
to I want to see some participation on this chat. That's my thing. I'm just here for the chat. You guys can talk about football.
You talk about football enough.
Yeah, that's true.
You talk with Dale. You talk with everybody. We got to get the chat going in the.
There's a chat here to be had. So all you got to do is, you know, participate. That's all, and we'll navigate through everything, and it'll be good.
Absolutely. Also, make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. Leave us a like on the stream. Hit that notification bell so you know if there is another live stream like this or any other videos that are posted to the channel.
So, Zach, we were talking before DK hopped on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a laundry list of an injury report.
A laundry list.
Pittsburgh Steelers, man.
I would say that some of it is encouraging. One, anytime that you hear that Ben has some type of injury, one, you're concerned. Two, you know that he's going to end up playing through it anyway. So, but a little bit of a pec injury there, right? Saw a picture immediately when I opened up Twitter that of him throwing the ball, and I'm like, okay, this is obviously a great sign here. Other than that, the groin gang, what's going on with those guys? It looks like we're getting a couple of those guys back at least, right? Devin Bush, full participant yesterday. Joe Hayden puts up a picture on Instagram that he's back and ready to roll. TJ Watt worked in a limited capacity yesterday. We'll see what his participation was and it continues to be throughout the rest of the week. Alex Highsmith, I'm not sure about, though. That's going to be a tricky one. Also, Carlos Davis didn't practice with a knee injury. But it looks like, you know, maybe half the groin gang could return for this game against Cincinnati.
That's going to be key because I think with the weapons that they have at the receiver position, you're going to have to get pressure on Joe Burrow, and you're going to have to get pressure on him quick.
Did you just call them the groin gang?
I did.
Groin gang, yes.
Yeah, the groin gang.
hashtag groin gang, guys.
That was worth the entire endeavor here.
But yeah, we've got to find a way to get some pressure, especially if Joe Hayden's, you know, do we know, is he coming back? I mean, have they released anything?
Well, Joe Hayden, I think that he's announcing it on his own. He put on his Instagram page back outside with a picture of him practicing. So, I mean, that to me is him signaling, hey, I'm coming back this week. I'm ready to roll.
Good.
You know, we'll see what his, again, participation is going to be throughout practice the rest of the week here. Right. But I think that all signs point to him playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that, you know, like I said, that front is going to be key. The other thing that we really need to see a lot more out of, and this really doesn't have anything to do with injuries other than Zach Banner, but we haven't seen him yet, is man, this offensive line has to be better. DK, I know you talked about it in your daily shot this morning.
No, I talked about it in my daily shot every day for eight months.
This is true.
But as long as we're clear on that.
Specifically, I think the word you used was embarrassment.
And well, you know what? Not to use this as a platform to hawk other material, but I just got done recording the Ramon Foster show with Ramon. You cannot miss this. He goes at everything about this offensive line, including not picking up the quarterback after he goes down.
Yep.
Not only does Ramon not hold back, he shares the sentiments that have been shared with him by other Steelers offensive linemen. Let's just say, I mean, I always say that the Ramon show, because he's so good, is a must watch. This one is that in all caps, italics, with little fireworks exploding around it. It's really something.
And if you think of it from his standpoint, I mean, there's a pride that comes with being.
He gets into that. Yeah. You want, and he said, you want to see a continuation. He said that he felt like when, you know, he got to the team, and when Marquise Pouncey got to the team, they wanted to continue, you know, what had been in place with Alan Faneca and Chris Kimoiatu and a lot of the guys that were on with that group. And there's not a doubt or a skepticism about these individuals, as strange as that'll sound. And you've heard some of that now this week from Zach Banner. You've heard some of it yesterday from Kevin Dotson. And we've heard it at Steelers HQ for a long time now, that there's a real faith in these players and their potential. But when you're seeing things like, and I know a lot of the All-22 this week picked it up, where one player misses one assignment and the whole play goes kablooey. And the film shows very clearly that if that one player had just done what they were supposed to do, it could have resulted in a very big run that would have skewed all of the statistics and maybe the outcome of the game in a very different direction. If that sounds like excuse making, it's not. Somebody blew it, okay? But it's not that all five have been blowing it, or that all five have been some constant catastrophe. That's not what this is about. Now, it can get there if you let it crumble. That's the concern.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, they're not the only group on offense. And we actually have a question here from one of the. We finally got some interaction. Wants to know about the receiving core. Is it truly a great group of receivers? Josh asks. With Claypool and Johnson leaving tons of plays still out there. I don't know if I'd say it's tons of plays, but it's definitely we want to see. I know on Twitter, Zach, I saw you have a little bit of a back and forth about Chase Claypool. You know, he's known to that. The whole thing was him being a 6'4", 230-pound receiver who can go up and get the ball. He's going to win those 50-50 battles, and as of late, he hasn't done that. So, I mean, what's your guys' thoughts on the receiving core?
I want to find out how good it is. I don't think that they've had the opportunity to really showcase that, right? Whether that's, you know, and it's everything collectively, right? But it starts with that offensive line. If Ben only has 2.5 seconds to get rid of the ball, you're not going to find out how good these receivers are. So, you know, it's kind of hard to really even get that litmus test from these guys and find out what exactly they're capable of, because they're not having the opportunities to showcase themselves right now.
There are a couple of guys that are underperforming in this group, notably Chase Claypool. You get targeted 9 times in a single game and you make 3 catches, and a couple of those are, you know, potentially big deal catches, like the one in the end zone that he absolutely should have caught. He had others. Now, he got his clock cleaned on one of them, but, you know, hold on to it.
I'm glad that you said that, because, like, Eddie just mentioned, I was going back and forth with somebody today on Twitter, and it's not just that one play. Like, it's the entire body of work for a guy that came into the league, was drafted as a guy that turns 50-50 balls into 80-20 balls in his favor. Where has that been? Where is that combative catch?
That was his thing at Notre Dame, is that he was like a receiver who reacted, you know, who performed like a tight end in terms of his ability to not just high point the ball, but forward point the ball, to bring the ball in. And it's not happening. It's just not happening. And I'm not really sure why, but that's not, you know, I'm not going to let everybody else off the hook either, because Deontay, whether he plays or not, you know, he's one of the best in football at getting open. Juju is not. Juju will catch the ball if it's thrown his way, but Juju's not doing and never has been great at separation. I want to see a lot more from this group, man. I know that sounds excessively vague, but so be it. I want to see a lot more from them. There isn't a single individual on that offense who has performed to par up to this point here. What else we got here?
We've got just a lot of talk on the receivers. If Alex Highsmith is not able to play on Sunday, could we see Taco Charlton get some playing time? That's a Steelers fan with a bunch of numbers.
Dude just walked in the building with his luggage. No. If you don't see Highsmith, and by the way, you will. If for whatever reason, you know, he, you know, has his shin hurt in warmups, like what happened to Spillane up in Buffalo. If Highsmith isn't there, you'll see Jahmyr Jones.
And you should.
You'll see Isaiah Loudermilk. You'll see guys that have been practicing and have been playing. There's not miracle cures for this sort of thing. The guy showing up, you know, he was signed to the practice squad.
Was signed as an outside linebacker as opposed to defensive end, which maybe is something to note going forward, but certainly not this week.
Do we think that, because I've seen this name a few times in the comments section, Zach Banner coming back, is that going to be a big help for the offensive line, or is that still, because to me it's just another question mark?
Well, he won't be back until
week four. Yeah. But when he does get into the mix, do we see that as, like, that's definitely an upgrade, or
it's, is of it a course question? I mean, you saw Chooks getting steamrolled again.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, that stuff's tough to watch. And, you know, Banner won't necessarily be spectacular, but he'll do his job, which is right now all that's really being asked of these guys. Just do your bleeping job. You know, I don't care how young you are, how inexperienced you are. If you're an offensive lineman, like, let's say, the two guys on the left, and really, no, Kendrick Green, too. I would say Dan Moore, Kevin Dotson, and Kendrick Green fit the profile of college offensive linemen who were not projects when they arrived, meaning they played a ton when they were at their schools. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between that and having someone like, let's say, Alejandro Villanueva, who was a multifold project when he came to the Steelers, had to put on 100 pounds and all that other stuff. They take a body and they try to teach the body how to play the position. That's not what it is with these three guys. These three guys have no excuses. Trey Turner obviously has no excuses. Chooks, my goodness. This is why I think the Steelers are like, look, this is there. This isn't some, you know, we just need to get it all together.
Yeah, and I'll bring up another thing that you and Dale both have been huge proponents for, and I mean, I think everyone should be, throwing Najee the football. I mean, if you're not going to give your quarterback time to let receivers run routes, then hit this all-world talent that you have coming out of the backfield. Hit him with some short stuff. Hit him with some stuff across the middle. Get him out in space. Like, let him do what he does best. We saw it on the touchdown play. We saw it on the stiff arm. He can make guys miss. He can make things happen when he's in open field. But they have to pass him the ball a little bit more. I mean, I know he's been out there for every single offensive play other than three this season. But I think in the passing game, he has to be more involved.
Eddie, I got to stop you right there because I heard you say middle of the field. That does not exist for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
the only way it's
gonna don't even mention it.
Yeah, but the only way it's going to exist is if you get the running back involved, if you start trying to make it a thing. They're not even trying right now, it doesn't look like.
There are so many things they need to do that it's really hard to know where to start. Najee just needs the ball in space. I don't care how he gets it. I don't care if it's a pass. I don't care if it's downfield. I don't care if it's a pitch. I don't care if it's an end around. I don't care. He needs the ball in space. Also, they need to block better. Have I mentioned that yet? look, they do need to solve, you know, this high safety that they're facing in the middle of the field. Part of the ways to do that is to get your tight end involved and throw over the middle. Nothing softens up the middle like throwing at the middle. And they have done that a couple of times, primarily with Pat Freiermuth. Now, when you do this sort of thing, though, you got to do it with understanding that there's a lot of different moving parts. For example, we can say, hey, throw over the middle, Freiermuth 20 yards away. But you got to have make sure that the quarterback doesn't die in the interim. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what I've been in favor of here, and I haven't gotten this nailed down as what you were describing, you know, just throw the ball to Najee, because I don't think it's that simple. If you don't have Deontay Sunday and you go out there with two wide receivers as a base set, you have a couple of tight ends and you have a running back, you go out there and essentially what's a power formation, right?
Yep.
Okay. Operate from a position of strength where you can build up the confidence of these guys. Let them know what it feels like to not suck. Okay. Let them have that feeling, and let them, if it takes 15 freaking plays to get to the other end zone, then have it be 15 plays and you can keep Zach's groin gang on the sideline healing.
Okay? Absolutely.
But find your way to get downfield. Stay calm with it. Stay cool. No freaking out. Run the football. Go in a power formation. Get Freiermuth on the field. These are the kinds of – it doesn't have to be. And this is why Ben got kind of snippy the other day when it was brought up with him, the 3-4 wide receivers. And his response was, we're leaving a lot of good players sitting on the sideline.
Yeah, but – I mean, at some point in time, you have to establish some kind of rhythm with your offense. I mean,
that is the rhythm, Eddie.
Right.
Give me a 15 play drive is rhythm, man.
With you 100%.
That's earth, wind, and fire right down the field. Okay, that's what you want.
But that's what they need to. But why won't they do that? Why won't Matt Canada just say, you know what? Let's get in a heavy set and do that. Like, I mean, it seems like it's common sense, but it's not happening. It didn't happen last year, and it hasn't happened through two games this year. Is there a reason why?
I'll say this. We haven't seen enough of the Matt Canada offense for any kind of fair evaluation. What we've seen to date has looked an awful lot like, you know, quick out this, quick out that, 2.1 second release time. And it's not exactly inspiring. And it still feels to me, guys, like they're taking shortcuts to attempt to get immediate results instead of building up an offense. Okay. And I understand, you know, you only have one quarter of preseason ball that counts, you know, with these guys on the field, and that it does take time. But I also understand that there's the only way this offense was ever going to work, ever, under any circumstance against any opponent, was going to be if they built themselves up into a team that could bull rush its way forward. That's it. That's it. The rest was going to be gravy. If you're counting on the 39-year-old quarterback to carry your offense this year, it's going to look like it did in the first two games. It has to. This offense has to be rooted in something else entirely.
Yeah, I agree with that. Zach, your thoughts on that?
I don't know that I could have said anything better. So I don't know if there's really much else that I can add to it. Yeah, the identity as football team cannot be the 39-year-old quarterback.
No,
it just can't be.
And that's not a knock on Ben. That's not saying that Ben's washed or whatever hot take on social media you want to go for. That's just being honest. He's 39 years old. He's got some, you know, some old knees. Zach, you know about that. You have to establish. I hate to be that guy, but you have to establish the run. And if you don't, I mean, we're going to just see a lot of this, what we saw against the Raiders. Any other questions out there? You guys got anything from the...
No, I wanted to bring up, I think, because I believe it was, if it wasn't DK, it was Dale. This is going back to, obviously, you guys were covering the team last year as well. The thing about Zach Banner coming back, right? DK, I believe it was you that said last year Banner won that job at right tackle because he was their best offensive lineman, at that right tackle spot, across the board.
Yeah.
So, and well,
more important than me saying it, the Steelers' own evaluators internally, mm-hmm, who were sitting behind us, we're right. saying it
right So I understand that last year's unit wasn't an improvement at all, or maybe a slim over this unit this year. But I think that that is enough of a vote of confidence that, like, yeah, this guy should immediately step in for Chooks at right tackle as soon as he's able to come back. But then what happens with Chooks? Is he the swing tackle? That's it? Is that his only role on this football team?
Well, he's not taking Dan Moore's spot, is he? No.
Okay.
Not in my lineup.
He's not sliding into guard, and he's not going to start snapping the ball for the first time in his life. So I don't see where Chooks goes. I think he is a swing tackle. I think he's a reserve at this point, and he will have dug his own hole to get to that point. If he had excelled in training camp at left tackle, he would have been an extraordinarily wealthy individual in very short order. He really, really hurt himself. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate, again, that I thought his overall performance against the Raiders was better than what he did in Orchard Park. But you can't get steamrollered. He got steamrollered. Yeah. Okay, you know which play I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is guys. Chooks is a big man. Okay, he is. On a football field, he looks like a big, big man, like compared to the rest of them. To some extent, all Chooks has to do is have balance and just exist. You know, to do the job. Just needs to breathe. And he ends up like he did on that self pancake there, moving his feet, losing his leverage, and then just and the mistakes that he does make are so big. And, hey, just imagine, by the way, if you ever want to – people rip the Steelers for a lot of different things. They rip management. They rip the head coach. And it's usually about, like, what? Seriously? You think this is them? But every once in a while, there's something that's super legit that just gets completely overlooked. Somebody on that coaching staff – and on that management team said to themselves at some point this summer, that's our left tackle.
I know.
Okay. Yeah.
That's scary because now you're getting into like actual evaluation and you're like, seriously? That's what you thought that guy was going to protect your quarterback?
Yeah. I just kept hearing, you know, that's his natural side. He was able at Western Michigan to keep Taylor Moten, who's an all pro right tackle now in Carolina, on that side. So, you know, maybe it could work out better for him, but hey, this ain't college.
Look, I think if this year goes the way that the first 2 weeks have gone, where we just see all these offensive line problems, and I want to be clear, I think that they will gel throughout the year. I don't think this is the ceiling for this offensive line. But if we see more of this, there has to be some blame on the front office because they didn't address the offensive line until the fourth round. They didn't bring anybody in other than Trey Turner, of note. So everything that DK said, this has to fall on somebody.
Well, they're sitting on $10 million in cap space.
Right. Why isn't anyone in here yet?
No, but this is what I say. This is why I say when people get mad at these guys, it's always about, like, why don't they corral these players using social media and stuff like that and whatever. That's not the – that's silliness. This is real stuff. This is a real mistake. Mm-hmm. This is a real lapse in judgment. Okay. When you're talking about $9-10 million, and then you enter a training camp, this is going to sound like I'm veering off subject, but I'm really not. You enter a training camp begging people off the street to replace Mike Hilton. You have done something wrong. You have miscalculated, okay? If Mike Hilton was that important to you, and remember, we're going to see him again for the first time this weekend. Mm-hmm. If he was that vital to your defensive scheme that you are willing to forfeit anything and everything but bringing in Antoine Brooks and Arthur Mollett and you over there, how about you? You come over here and you try to be Mike Hilton too. You're sitting on $9 million with unlimited cap space next year? Why didn't you just keep him? Why didn't you just keep him? You know, I don't have a problem with the Bud thing because there was a replacement, but there was no replacement for Mike Hilton. Clearly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. $6 million.
Yeah.
That's what he got, right? 424.
It's a little less in terms of cap space. It's like, I want to say 5.4 or something like that. Look, and it's high. Okay, it's high. This is an undrafted guy who's basically a two-trick pony. But they valued those tricks in this scheme. Right. He meant a lot. And they were just like, oh, not great value.
Well, what do you think, guys? Wrap this one up for today.
Oh, we can take one more. Let's do that.
Let's take one more then. All right.
Here, I'll see if I can find one over here. Here, I'll take this one here from Work Dirty. He says, keep it honest. We have the slowest, least mobile quarterback in the North and possibly the worst O-line. So that's going to limit offensive schemes and production. First of all, keep it honest. We're doing that. You know, if you disagree, you disagree. You know, you don't have to suggest that we're lying or being dishonest if that's what you're doing. Slowest, least mobile QB to me, and I'll let you guys – address this, obviously. When you start talking about a quarterback who's been hit 10 times, who went down twice, this is in one game against the Raiders, and you're looking at him as the problem because he's not escaping efficiently enough, you are so spectacularly missing the point. Look, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're watching. I'm not beating up on you here, okay? But that is not it. What is it is making sure that he doesn't have to do that. No quarterback wants to do that. Fran Tarkenton didn't want to do that.
But the whole idea of the – and here's my problem with that. The whole idea of the quarterback position is to get the ball out to your playmakers, right? It's look at the good quarterbacks. So when you're asking a quarterback to be mobile and run around and do all these different things, he's not doing the job that he's getting paid for. Look at Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl. Yeah, he was mobile, but did that matter? The offensive line sucked in front of him. And so it didn't matter how mobile Patrick Mahomes was because he couldn't throw the ball downfield and he couldn't
because they shoved him right. The Bucks shoved him where they wanted him to throw from by using Devin White and all those other guys back there. That's a great point.
Yeah. So unless you're some spectacular athlete like Michael Vick, and even look at his success, you're not going to. It doesn't matter how fast or how mobile or how agile you are. You're going to get beat up behind an offensive line like this.
My only thing to add to that is he also said, and possibly the worst O-line in the North as well. This week with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, they're battling that out this week. It's the worst offensive line bowl this Sunday.
There's a trophy at the end.
Which, just a quick timeout. And this is no knock on Jamar Chase because I think Jamar Chase is a spectacular athlete. I mean, he's got some hand issues apparently, but what were they thinking?
Hand issues.
What were they thinking? Not drafting Penei Sewell with Joe Burrow coming off of a borderline, like the most atrocious knee injury that I've seen in a while. What was that thinking?
Well, the Bengals did, to their credit. I mean, they did address O-line in the most recent draft. And if I'm Burrow, that's the only way I'm coming back to work for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After the way that played out. But as we're seeing in Pittsburgh, look, you can have those guys. And this is the same case with Cleveland a couple of years ago, you'll recall, where after Joe Thomas was gone, they finally started drafting offensive linemen. Remember? Mm-hmm. Not this draft, but the one before that. And you were like – and if you're watching the draft that night, and that was the big pandemic draft, if you'll recall. And you're watching this and you're going – oh man, the Browns are doing smart things. This isn't good. Like I don't ever want to see the Browns be smart. And that's all they kept doing. But even then, that took time too. And talk about a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, my man Work Dirty comes back here and says, wasn't implying you all weren't being honest. All good. Same right back, man. Seriously, that's really cool that you wrote back. We hear that in this business. We hear that all the time. Like, why can't you just tell the truth and be honest? Well, I mean, it's what we're doing. You know, it's just football.
And honestly, like, you know, with these live streams, if we're going to try to start doing these more often, the interaction in the comment section is key for that.
Yeah, so
we love you guys. We love you guys commenting. We love the questions. We love the back and forth. It makes this fun, honestly.
It's just sports. Never have to take it too seriously.
Can I bring up one more thing just because I saw it in there as well? Someone said, where's Derek Watt been? We heard he was going to have a huge role in the offense this season, blah. Was there really a bunch of smoke about him having a huge role in the offense?
Actually, yes.
Yes.
Really?
Okay. First of all, I'll share with you the best stat of all to the Steelers season. You'll hear some people cite occasionally that Derek Watt has taken 4 snaps with the offense. Eddie knows what I'm going to say. 2 of those were with victory formation in Orchard Park. He lined up, him and Najee lined up on either side of Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's actually two offensive snaps. And actually, I don't even remember either of the two. Yes, to answer your question, Zach, he was lined up for all kinds of plays all through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting stuff, too.
We were seeing him on wheel routes.
Wheel routes and stuff.
Yeah, it was nuts, man.
Like, no, inside handoffs, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can't even picture 44 touching a football, but he was going, it was, you know, we're not allowed to talk about stuff we see in practice. Oh, wait, this was camp. We can talk about that. Yeah. There was tons of stuff that he was involved in, and they spoke about it openly. They did.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching one practice with Pat Narduzzi, whose office is like up in that balcony, you know, where the observation deck on the south side.
You mean the frying pan?
Yeah, yeah. There's no canopy up there when it's 900 degrees. We're just like insects baking in the sun.
Thoughts and prayers to you and Dale, man.
So anyway, he comes out and he's watching. He says, "Man, Derek Watt isn't like involved in everything." Yeah, he is. And then he wasn't. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, thanks to everybody.
Follow-up question. Hold on.
All right.
Because people are going to want to
keep it alive, man.
The comments are going to want to hear the answer to this.
People demand to hear what Smitty has next.
Do you think that it's fair to say then that we haven't even seen a very large portion of what Matt Canada's offense is?
I'm not willing to throw him that mulligan. There's been two NFL games played in stadiums, okay, to use the Tomlinism. Okay, you know what fraction or what percentage of the full season that is already? Okay, it's close to 1/8 now that the 17th game throws off all the easy math.
Yeah.
It's close to 1/8 of the season. That's a really big deal. So I'm not willing to throw him that life preserver and say he's holding things back. Or what was the Tomlin line, the hip pocket?
Yeah,
we're going to keep that one in our hip pocket. There's no keeping anything in your hip pocket. They were down 2 points on Sunday, man.
Yeah.
You're not holding anything back for the Ravens or the Bengals or whatever. You got to put out the best possible offense you can. I'm telling you, I'm going to be stubborn about this. They have to show up in something resembling a power formation and assert themselves and restore their – I was about to say something that would get me in trouble.
Their dominance.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Okay.
Sure, their dominance.
They need to be the BMOCs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They need to become badasses again.
Yeah. We heard that all through training camp.
They've lost
the
that
tight ends.
As an offense. They have lost that almost entirely, other than the occasional splash. And that has to come back. And you know who I would do that against? The Cincinnati Bengals. That's who I would do that against.
Yep. I agree, man. I think that's a great way to end the show. Dominate the Cincinnati Bengals.
I don't know. What else you got, Smitty? You seem to really want to keep going here.
No. I was just going to bring up, I was going to say the last thing. I do see that they've updated the injury participation for today. So
yeah, it was all good news.
Yeah, well, Deontay didn't practice. Alex Highsmith didn't
not
practice.
Deontay's not.
Marcus Allen added with an abdomen injury.
He doesn't matter. No offense.
So, yeah. But
Deontay, you know what? I'm telling you, you have to approach this weekend, especially without Deontay. Use it from the standpoint of here's an opportunity. We're going to try something totally different here. Okay, we're not going to get married to the three wides. Okay, Deontay's not playing. We just lost our best possession receiver by far. So what are we going to do about it? 15 plays, guys, right down the field. Earth, wind, and fire. That was the rhythm reference.
Yeah, I think that might have to be the title of this. Earth, wind,
and fire. On the 23rd day of September.
September.
Yeah.
Should have done this 2 days ago.
Oh, man. I love it. Well, for DK, for Smitty, for DK Pittsburgh Sports. And for BetQL, don't forget to check them out in the description below, all the information that you need.
Like and subscribe.
Hit the little bell
now. Yeah, like now. Don't be holding off on that.
And we will catch you next time on Steelers Today.